It's always fun to have authors on talking about, you know, maybe a little bit how they got inspired to write what they write and a little bit about their latest. And our guest this morning is author Raeanne Thain. She's written the book The Path to Sunshine Cove. She joins us this morning. Good morning, Raeanne.
Good morning.
So how does somebody who has a beautiful view of mountains in Utah write about some cove on the Pacific? How do you kind of transfer? Are you also looking for the water? Is that sort of the same?
I'm very, very ocean hungry most of the time, and we're pretty landlocked here, unless you count the Great Salt Lake, which is, we don't. It's not a great, beautiful body of water. But I love going to the ocean. My family goes there quite often. I love any opportunity I have, and there's just something so soothing and peaceful about the water, which is why I have set several of my books in and around ocean communities, just because there's something, you know, it's just the setting becomes a character in some of those cases, and in this particular case, it definitely did.
Well, the water is always there, and as I talked to Craig before he went on, there's a lot of people are like, drawn to water.
Right.
You know, we're made mostly of water, and maybe there's sort of a connection that we want there.
But I think so.
It's just sort of sometimes a very peaceful and relaxing, though it can be turbulent at times. We want to get into sort of metaphors about the whole thing. Describe a little bit about what your books are about or what style that you feel that you bring to the literary world.
I really try to write books, heartwarming books that people can kind of relax into, but still come away feeling good about the world and watching characters overcome difficult things in order to find joy in life. You know, they're sweet, which means they're, you know, there's not a lot of swearing, a lot of sexy stuff, but they're gritty sometimes because they're dealing with deep emotions. I've had my books described as comfort reads, and I'm absolutely great with that because I feel like, especially during these tough times that we're dealing with, we're all in need of a place that we can kind of go into that we know that there's going to be a happy ending at the end, but there's going to be rough times that people are dealing with in the middle.
Has that always been sort of the feeling of your books, or did you test out different waters, no pun intended, in the earlier times?
I didn't really test out different waters. I would say my voice sort of evolved over the years. In my early days, I wrote more romantic suspense books that were, you know, where there were bad guys and people in jeopardy and things like that. And I loved writing those at that particular time in my career. I loved it. But I realized, you know, probably about 20 books in, that I really enjoyed the emotional connection between people and exploring, you know, small towns and community and, you know, the relationships that we all have to deal with on a regular basis. We're not always all in jeopardy, but we all, you know, understand what it is to have a child struggling with something, or to be dealing with, you know, a family member who is ill. And so that was sort of my voice just sort of evolved over the years to writing more relationship-based stories, I would say.
I suppose a lot of that feedback also from your writers or readers kind of inspire you to continue that or realize I've touched into something. Maybe there is another story here for another book.
Absolutely. And I think what really happened is that I realized at a certain point in my career that my reviews and my reader fan mail was mostly based on the communities that I was creating and these deeper emotions that I was bringing out in my characters, but also in my readers. And I realized that was my strength. While I did love writing, you know, more plot-based stories about adventure and suspense and things like that, if readers were really responding to the other parts of my book, I realized I need to give them more of what they are enjoying. And so it was a conscious effort on my part to really focus on that part.
Well, let's talk about this one. The Path to Sunshine Cove starts out with its sisters, Jess and Rachel. And Jess, I like the way you start out with the line says, "If not for all the emotional baggage cluttering up her Airstream, this wouldn't be a bad place to park for a few days." Here's a woman who comes to help people get rid of their stuff, and she's carrying a whole lot of other stuff with her.
That's exactly right. She has a really fascinating job that I became really fascinated with. I'd love to know somebody who does this, but her job is she travels around the country helping older people transition to like assisted living, and she basically helps them clear out their houses. And having my parents died within a few weeks of each other, and so my siblings and I had to do that process of cleaning out their house, and there are many years of accumulated things, and I know how difficult that can be for family members. And so I thought, how great if you could hire somebody to come in and help do that, you know, get rid of all the things that you've accumulated through the years. And so she and her sister Rachel both had a very tough childhood, very dysfunctional childhood, and they have reacted very different ways. So Jess doesn't want to put down roots. She doesn't want to settle in and create some of these deeper relationships that we were talking about earlier. Her whole thing is move into a place, be there for a few weeks, do her job, move on to the next place, and that's the way she likes it. While Rachel, who had a slightly different upbringing in that she, while Jess spent some time in a group home for her later years of teenage years, Rachel was lucky enough to find a foster family and went to high school in this little town called Cape Sanctuary. She met her husband when they were high school sweethearts, and she stayed in this little town and loves it there. And she's a social media influencer, and so she likes to put out this pretty picture to the world. In reality, her life has some cracks in it. She and her husband have a 3-year-old son who's just been diagnosed with autism, and they're just in those very early stages of coming to terms with what this is going to mean for their child, for them, you know, the extra effort they're going to have to put into making this sure that their son has the best possible life.
Who is older of the two, Jess or Rachel?
Jess is the older one, and she was always the protector, and they were always really close when they were young. They bonded because their household was not a stable place, and so the two sisters were super close. But during these teenage years, as they were separated by circumstance, there was a rift that developed, and I'm sure there was a little bit of envy on Jess's part that Rachel had, you know, this happy life now and this family life that Jess maybe yearned for and didn't want to admit that she yearned for it. So she was always the protector of her sister and really wanted to take care of her. Rachel ended up in this other circumstance where she didn't need Jess. And I think that was hard for both of them.
We're talking today with Rayanne Thane. The book is called The Path to Sunshine Cove, her latest novel. This one just came out, right? For sort of in April, it kind of debuts in spring.
Yeah, Tuesday. Tuesday was the release day, yes.
And I know there was a lot of anticipation for that. How soon after something comes out like this, and maybe it's more instantaneous than it has been over your years of writing, do you get to start hearing back from the readers?
You know, it is very different from when I started. My first book came out in 96, and so I was back in the day before really anybody had email. I mean, a few people did, but it was really early days. So I didn't hear from readers. We didn't have social media. We didn't have that instant connection. And so I would be lucky. My publisher once in a while would send me a pack of letters that people had written in to me. But now it's actually before the fact, because my publisher is really great at getting out advanced copies of the book. And so, you know, I've been hearing from readers probably for the last maybe 3 months. But now that it's actually out in the stores and I'm getting even more of a response, it's so amazing. It's such an amazing feeling for every writer, I'm sure, to know that something that they created that just, you know, basically came out of their head is now in the hands of other people and is making other people happy. And that's kind of my goal. That's always been my goal as an author. You know, I want people to feel good when they're reading my books. I have a sign on my desktop, on my laptop, that says, I may not change the world, but I can change someone's afternoon. And that's kind of what I hope, that they can, especially during this hard time, that they'll find a place where, you know, they can escape into, they can feel the emotions that the characters are feeling and really just enjoy the journey.
How has this past year affected you in your writing, and either what you've been doing or even how you feel of what you need to write about?
I think it's really given me a deeper appreciation for community. I miss my own, you know, network of people. We've still tried to connect with Zoom and everything, but it's not the same as everyone's in the test. It's not the same as being there in person and hugging your friends and things. And I really miss that. I miss my readers in person. It's been a tough year. I have to admit, it's been a really hard year here. You know, I'm extremely fortunate that I work at home, so that never changed as far as, you know, my work has always been on my own and so I didn't have to deal with big shifts in that way. But, you know, we have family members who require care. I have a son with disabilities, which is, you know, sort of, I explored some of that as I was exploring Rachel's journey. And he's always been in a school program or in a day program, and suddenly he was home with my husband and I. And so we had to adjust to, you know, instead of caring for him for most of the day, we usually had a little bit of a break. And then suddenly it was 24 hours of care constantly. And so that was really an adjustment. And I think it gave me a deeper appreciation for caregivers. Not that I mean, our son's 22, so I've always, you know, had that great appreciation, but doing it 24 hours a day is hard. And also a great appreciation for his teachers and the aides and things that have helped through the years so that I could have a little reprieve throughout the day. from him.
Yes, well, we can always find, you know, a little bit of what the support group needs to be out there. And sometimes a book becomes a little bit of that, right? Is it sort of an escape? It allows you to sort of reprogram and, you know, give yourself a little time to relax, but yet sort of kind of be entertained during that time. What are you now, this, the Sunshine Cove, or I understand some of these are part of a same series. They're not connected, but they're sort of a theme with some of your.
Yeah. So I have three books that are set in my community of Cape Sanctuary. That's the only connection. I created this fictional community that's in Northern California. It's basically a mishmash of a couple of my favorite beach towns, Carmel and Cannon Beach, both places that my family and I have spent quite a lot of time in. And so I sort of picked my favorite elements of those towns and put them in Cape Sanctuary. And originally it was only supposed to be one book set there. But as I told you, I really love the beach and I love that whole thing. And so when I was coming up with the idea for the second one, I said, well, I would really like it in a beach community. And it just makes sense to put it in the same place. So they're totally not connected to each other. They're just set in the same little community. The characters don't interact or anything. But so the Cliff House, the Sea Last Cottage, which is also available, came out in paperback this year. And then The Path to Sunshine Cove, which is a hardcover that came out Tuesday.
That's a new one that's out. Rayanne Thane, our guest this morning. If people want to find out more about you or your book, where's a good place to get some good details on that?
My website's the best place. It's rayannethane.com. I'm very active on Facebook, Instagram. They can find me there. Just or email, anywhere.
Sounds good. Rayanne, we appreciate your time this morning. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Thanks. Bye-bye.